Well, good morning. I'm Lynn, and I'll be reading the Bible. But before I do, I'd like to pray with you. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, give us wisdom and understanding as we listen to your word. May we know you better, love you more, and learn to please you in all we do. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Now we're going to hear the word of the Lord from the resurrection chapter in the Bible. 1 Corinthians 15, verses 12 to 28. It's found on page 1154 if you have a Bible from our church, or it's on the screen behind me. You can follow along. But if it is preached that Christ has been raised from the dead, how can some of you say that there's no resurrection of the dead? If there's no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless, and so is your faith. More than that, we are then found to be false witnesses about God, for we have testified about God that he raised Christ from the dead. But he did not raise him if in fact the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, then Christ has not been raised either. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile and you are still in your sins. Then those also have fallen asleep in Christ are lost. For if only this life we have hope in Christ, we of all people are most to be pitied. But Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since death came through a man, the resurrection of the dead came also through a man. For as in Adam all die, so in Christ all will be made alive. But each in turn, Christ, the first fruits, then, when he comes, those who belong to him. Then the end will come when he hands over the kingdom to God the Father after he has destroyed all domination, authority and power. For he must reign until he has put all his enemies under his feet. The last enemy to be destroyed is death, for he has put everything under his feet. Now, when it says that everything has been put under him, it is clear that this does not include God himself, who put everything under Christ. When he has done this, then the Son himself will be made subject to him, who put everything under him, so that God may be all in all.
All right. G'day. Yes, it is great to be here, and it's a real treat too to walk through that little passage in 1 Corinthians 15. I've loved getting to God's word in the lead up, and I'm really pleased to be able to be here now and for us together to look into it. So, who is Jesus to you? That's the question we're asking our community in the lead up to this series. And probably a month or so ago now, I was meeting up with a friend, and on my Uber ride there and back, I thought, let's ask the driver. Let's see what they say. So I asked them, like, who is Jesus to you? Who do you think Jesus is? And one of the drivers, he was a Sikh, and he said, Jesus is that guy from the Bible, but he's just a story. He's not real. And then on the other side, there was a Christian driver. He had a Christian background, and when I asked him the question, he affirmed all those normal things that a Christian would affirm, like Jesus is the Son of God. But then when he was telling me about his life, it was clear that actually Jesus didn't really have much of an impact. He was more busy with other things like a work and building a future for him and his family. They're two very different experiences of Jesus. Two different views, but I think the bottom line for both those guys was the same. Jesus is nothing. Whether you believe in him or don't believe in him, he makes no difference to your life. What do you reckon about that? The bit of the Bible we're looking at today, which we heard just before, it makes a big point of saying this. If you're convinced that Jesus came back from the dead, then actually it should turn your life totally upside down. If you believe Jesus rose from the dead, then the headline for your life should be something like this: Jesus is everything, or Jesus changes everything, because he's significant for every part of life, both now and into eternity. So is Jesus nothing, or is he everything? That's what we're wrestling with today. And to help us do this, let's dive into that passage in 1 Corinthians now. Just a bit of context. This was a letter written by the Apostle Paul to a group of Christians in a place called Corinth. And it's probably about 20 years after Jesus' death and resurrection. And one of the things Paul tells us in our passage today is that if Jesus didn't rise from the dead, then not only is Jesus irrelevant, but Christianity is just a big hoax. As we dive into our passage, keep your Bibles open if you do have them, or listen up carefully as we read through the different verses. It's worth noting that in the people that Paul's talking to, some of those people were promoting this particular idea at the time. They were saying that those who believe in Jesus would not rise from the dead on the last day. Christians die, and that's it. Game over. But Paul says to them in verse 12, this makes no sense. Have a read with me, verse 12. He says, but if it's preached that Christ has been raised from the dead, how can some of you say there is no resurrection of the dead? And then verse 13, he explains why their view is such a problem. Verse 13, he says, if there's no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. You see, essential, foundational to the Christian belief is that Jesus rose from the dead. We heard it before when Steamer was doing the All Ages spot. But if there's no resurrection, then pretty quickly Christianity unravels. I was on an online group chat recently, and this question was posted on the thread. The question was, if Jesus did not rise from the dead, would you still be a Christian? One of the people said this, yes, I would, because his teachings alone are enough to warrant following. And another person essentially said this, it would be a nice bonus if Jesus rose, but it's not crucial to their faith. They would still be a Christian. Now, these answers, they might sound kind of balanced and, well, almost noble, but Paul's saying it doesn't make a lot of sense. As he says in verse 17, if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile. It's meaningless. He almost sounds a bit harsh here, don't you reckon? You know, if Jesus didn't rise, then your faith is a waste of space. Move on. But he's showing us that that's how important the resurrection is for the Christian life. Because during his time on earth, Jesus said to the people closest to him, he said, I'm going to die on the cross for sin. I'm going to rise again to new life 3 days later. And the Christian faith and hope, it's grounded in the fact that these things really did happen in real time. And it means that if Jesus didn't rise again, the alternatives are he was crazy and deluded, or he was a con man. Either way, he's not someone who's trustworthy. He's not someone you can build your life on. And if you do, it's not just foolish, it's a sad waste of life. As Paul says of Christians in verse 19, if only for this life we have hope in Christ, we're of all people most to be pitied. If there's no resurrection, Christians are the most pitiful people on the earth. I used to work as a lawyer, and I remember the moment that I told my workmates that I was going to leave the profession to do my ministry apprenticeship at Modbury. And it was a really strange moment for me. They were really happy for me. But here's the thing, they didn't believe Jesus rose from the dead. And what we're seeing here is that if Jesus didn't rise from the dead, they shouldn't admire my gullibility, you know, spending my life on this thing. They should feel sorry for me because I was planning to waste my life on a lie. Has anyone here seen The Truman Show? Hands up if you have. Okay, there's a few people. Nice. Yeah, I remember seeing it when I was in high school, I reckon, one of the English studies. Jim Carrey, he plays Truman, the main character. And Truman, he grows up in this kind of picture-perfect town. There's a picture there. He's got loving parents, a great wife, and friends. But over time, Truman's life begins to unravel. His whole world falls apart. The people around him, he starts to notice they're a bit staged, and they kind of have these same routines over and over again. And at one point, the sun, it kind of spontaneously falls from the sky. That's pretty unusual too. And eventually, he comes to realize the truth, that he was born into a reality television show, and he's the main star, The Truman Show. His whole life has been a lie. Now, if you haven't seen it, when he finds out that his life is a lie, what do you think he does? Here it is. He decides, oh, well, life's pretty good. You know, I've got a loving wife, good mates, a good career. Oh, you know, they're all paid actors, but that's okay. That's not how the movie goes, if you've seen it. Instead, Truman, he does everything he can to bust out of that world. He overcomes every obstacle. He sails over these violent seas, even though he's got a phobia of water, until eventually Truman hits the wall. Literally, his boat, it hits the end of the set of the world. He finds a ladder, goes up it, finds a door, and he enters through the door. Truman does everything he can to bust out of his fake world and embrace reality. Now, just for a moment, I want to chat to people who might have grown up in a Christian environment, and if that's you, I want to say you still need to wrestle with the resurrection. It doesn't matter if you have loving parents, good youth mates, you've gone on camps, you've had great experiences, you think Jesus' teaching is good for life in general. In the end, if Jesus didn't rise from the dead, Christianity is a lie. And no one should build their life on a lie. And if you're someone who's still exploring Christianity and you want to save a little bit of time, look into the resurrection of Jesus. Because if you conclude Jesus didn't rise from the dead, there's no point looking any further than that. Can I also ask, what would convince you that Jesus did rise from the dead? Coming back to our passage, we see that for Paul, the one who's writing the letter, he became totally convinced that Jesus beat death once and for all. Verse 20, Paul says emphatically, Christ has indeed been raised from the dead. It almost seems like an overstatement here. How can Paul be so confident that Jesus really did rise from the dead? To understand this, we need to know a little bit more about Paul's backstory, his life. Paul, he was someone who was as anti-Christian as they come. He attacked people for following Jesus. But he had a particular experience, and it turned his life upside down. Paul went from hating Jesus and attacking his followers to becoming one of his followers, and eventually being killed to tell other people about the good news of Jesus. It's a dramatic transformation in his life. What happened to him? What was that moment? It was the same experience that transformed a whole bunch of Jesus' closest friends and disciples too. They went from doubting Jesus, even abandoning him when he was arrested and killed, because none of them thought he was going to rise from the dead after that. They went from that to, like Paul, giving up their lives to tell people about Jesus. And it's the same experience that converted James into a believer. And I find this extraordinary. Think about it. So James, he was one of Jesus' brothers. Mary was their mum. And before Jesus was killed, James doubted Jesus' claim that he was the saviour of the world. And I don't blame him, right? I mean, who here has siblings? I do. Any others? Yep, there's a few people. I've got two siblings. And I have to say, it would take something extraordinary for me to believe Kate or Ben are the saviour of the world. And I'm sure you're the same, right? But like Paul, like those other disciples, James went from being a doubter to risking his life to tell people about Jesus. What happened to all these people? They all met the risen Jesus, and it turned their lives upside down. Now, if you do look into the resurrection, and you come to the conclusion that so many, and you come to the conclusion that so many others have, that he really did rise from the dead, there's an important follow-up question today. So what? You know, it's an amazing event. People don't come back from the dead every day, but so what? What difference does it make to life? Is it just a bit like a spectator event? You know, like you go to a footy match at Adelaide Oval, you cheer your team on, you boo the other team, they win, they lose, in the end you go away, and it doesn't really have any impact on the week, unless you're a sore loser. Jordan Peterson, he's a Canadian psychologist and a media commentator. Oh no, this is going to play. No, it's not. Okay, good. He's a Canadian psychologist, media commentator. And I watched an interview with him recently that was really interesting. The reporter is a guy called Alex O'Connor. And he was asking Peterson why he tends to dodge this question about whether he believes Jesus rose from the dead. And Alex asks him, you know, if you put a Panasonic camera in front of the tomb where Jesus was buried, 3 days, okay, sorry, just ignore that. 3 days later, would you see Jesus walking out of the tomb? And Peterson says, I suspect yes. And so Alex, who's a bit exasperated at this point, he says, why can't you just say, yes, I believe Jesus rose from the dead then? And Peterson says to him, because I have no idea what it means. Today in our passage, Paul says, not only has Jesus risen from the dead, because he's met him, but also God's made the meaning clear. And it's good news that transforms lives. And this is what we're going to explore for the rest of our time together. Firstly, if Jesus, let me see if I can get it. Okay. Firstly, if Jesus rose, then it means we can be forgiven by God for our sins. Have a read with me, verse 17. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile, you're still in your sins. Recently, a friend shared with me how he still regrets how he bullied someone in high school. He told me, I hope this person's moved on, that it hasn't impacted them. Years later, he still holds on to that guilt and shame of how he treated that person. Do you ever identify with that feeling? I know I do at points. We've all got things from our past we regret and hold on to. The things we should have done but didn't, the things we wish we hadn't done. Those twisted thoughts in the quiet of our hearts. It's the things that drive a wedge between us and our relationships with other people, and that ultimately drive a wedge in our relationship with God. But what can you do? What can you actually do about these mistakes? You can go see a therapist. You can be nicer in the future to make up for it. You can try and suppress it, you know, try and not think about it anymore. Or like my friend, you could have wishful thinking. Maybe it's all sorted itself out. And these things might have benefits to a degree, but ultimately, that they don't really work. Instead, we're a bit like sponges in a bucket of liquid, you know. Over time, we just fill up with more and more reasons to feel shame and guilt. And we become weighed down by that. More and more, the Bible teaches us that because God is loving and God is just, there's a day where he'll hold everyone accountable for these things. And that's the difference the resurrection makes. It shows us that while we can't do anything to deal with our sins, God has. Jesus' death on the cross and resurrection, it's like a package deal. On the cross, Jesus says, "I have dealt with your sins once and for all. I've taken the punishment you deserve for them." And his resurrection, it's like God's stamp of approval that this really did happen. Jesus really did do it. And it means that if you trust in Jesus, it's like he takes that sponge that is your life and he rinses it out entirely. God forgives you for everything. So you can enter into a loving relationship with him. If Jesus rose, it means we can be forgiven by God. And secondly, it means we can have hope beyond the grave. As the saying goes, two things are guaranteed in life, death and taxes. Thanks. In reality, you can dodge taxes, but you can't avoid death, can you? And it's what the Bible tells us is the curse of Adam. The beginning, God made humanity to be in loving relationship with him and with each other and with the world. Because God is the source of life, as long as we're in relationship with him, we live. But ever since Adam, the first man, humanity has rebelled against God. And from that time on, from the time we cut ourselves off from the source of all life, there's been one common pathway for all people: life, death, and then God's final judgment for our sins. And if Jesus didn't rise, nothing's changed. No forgiveness now, no hope in the life to come. All humanity is on that downward spiral. And as Paul says in verse 18, then those who have fallen asleep in Christ are lost. But if Jesus has risen, then not only can we return to God and embrace relationship with him now, but there's something wonderful to come. Because just as Adam is the champion of death, Jesus is the champion of life. As Paul says in verse 22, for as in Adam all die, so in Christ all will be made alive. Without the resurrection, sin, death, judgment. But with the resurrection, Jesus unlocks a new pathway, a new future for us. He's the trailblazer who shows us what life can be. As he's described in our passage today, Jesus is the first fruits. Take a look at verse 20 with me. But Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. What does it mean that Jesus in his resurrection is like the first fruits? It's an interesting image. Imagine for a moment you're a farmer and you're looking over your orchard in the early days of spring and you see it. You see the first juicy apple of the season. And you can't wipe the smile off your face because you know what this means. You know a bumper crop is coming. Jesus' resurrection is the first fruit. He's the first one out of the grave. But it's also a signal to the world that there is going to be a bumper crop of risen people to come. And this is the hope we have in Jesus. All who trust in him are going to rise to new life just like him. We'll have bodies that never creak or break, just like him. In loving relationship with God and his new people, and his people in the new creation. A world that's no longer undermined by sin, no longer undermined by death. There's some things amazing in life that make no difference to life. You know, Neil Armstrong, he was the first man to walk on the moon in 1969. I believe it happened. I don't think it's impacted my life that much. Correct me if I'm wrong. There might be reasons why it has. But it's not the same with the resurrection of Jesus. If Jesus did rise, he changes everything. He's where you find forgiveness now. He's where you find true belonging now, in loving relationship with him and with his people. And he's where you find real hope. And so the decision to trust in him, it has significance for every part of life, now and into eternity. And so I want to ask, what do you think about Jesus' resurrection? Does it make any difference to your life? I was recently away on a mission trip in Roxby Downs. We took a bunch of youth from the four churches and the Trinity churches in the north. And together we ran a whole bunch of stuff so that people could hear about Jesus. And one of those things was this week-long kids program. So the kids from the community came along to it. And on the last day of the program, the parents came along so they could check out what the kids are doing as a part of the program. And they were telling us about how these kids were coming home. These are people who aren't Christian families or anything. The kids were coming home and they started teaching the parents about Jesus. You know, telling, oh, Dad, did you know that God's fingerprints are everywhere? Mom, did you know that God made you? God made everything? And so I chatted to these parents. There was two in particular. And I asked both of them, would you be interested in looking into Jesus? The first man, he seemed a little bit interested, but he also said he had other priorities in life, you know, like work and renovating his home. And maybe that's your story today. Maybe there are other priorities in life. And so when you hear that question, do you want to look into Jesus? Your instant thought is, not yet. If that's you, can I just urge you to reconsider? As we're seeing today, these claims about Jesus, they're too important to put off. There's too much at stake. We spoke about before, if you grew up in a Christian environment, but Jesus didn't rise from the dead, it's a bit like you're in the Truman Show. You know, life is a lie and you should bust out of that world to embrace reality. But the opposite is also true. If Jesus did rise from the dead, then people who don't know Jesus are embracing that lie. And the only way to bust out of that world and embrace reality is to get to know Jesus. It's the only way. And if you do want to look into Jesus, a great place to start is to pick up a gospel. There's Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. These are four historical accounts of Jesus' life, death, resurrection. There's Luke's gospel at the entrance table. You can grab one on your way out today. Or there's other great books that look at the historical case for why Jesus rose, as well as the meaning behind it. The Case for Christ is by Lee Strobel. That's one I can recommend. Whatever it is, don't put it off. And if you conclude that Jesus didn't rise, you can move on. But if Jesus did rise from the dead, it's such good news, and you don't want to miss it. Do you want to look into Jesus? Maybe you have a different answer to that question. Maybe your answer is, I don't need to. You know, I already believe he rose from the dead. But possibly, if you looked into your life, it could be a bit more like that Uber driver I mentioned before. You say you're a Christian, but Jesus doesn't seem to make much difference to life. You know, your life looks pretty much the same as anyone else who's not a Christian. If that's you, can I just encourage you to look into it again to look into it again and to consider the difference that the resurrection of Jesus makes. Coming back to the holiday program, there was a second parent that asked the question to as well. And maybe your answer's a bit more like hers. When I asked her, do you want to look into Jesus? She looked at me and she said, I really do. Now, frustratingly, I had to start the kids program and So I gave her a gospel and I connected her to another Christian who goes to that church. And it meant I never got to hear what brought her to that point. She might have been a bit like that other parent who answered the question. You know, she'd invested in career and the home. But unlike him, she'd come to realize those things could never really meet her needs, her deepest needs. Or maybe she was like another woman we met during the week. She grew up an atheist, and for her, family was everything. But when her marriage blew up, that dream, it collapsed. And so she turned to alcohol to numb the pain. Or maybe she was a bit like another man we met during the week. He was adopted, and he spent the early part of his life looking to belong. But instead, he always felt forgotten, like nobody cared for him. All these people were hungry for more, and they tried to satisfy their needs with a whole bunch of stuff, and none of them worked. But those last three stories, they have something else in common. For them, their search is over, because they all met Jesus, and he's now at the center of their lives. And talking to them, you can see that Jesus satisfies their longings in a way that no other thing or person ever could. They know they're forgiven, loved, and restored to their God now. And they have the hope of eternity with him. Do you want to look into Jesus? My hope and prayer today is that your answer is, I really do. And if you're a Christian, that you keep looking into it and keep being blown away by it. But if you're someone who hasn't yet made that call, and that's you, we'd love to help you do this. Please talk to me afterwards. Please talk to Luke or Steema or a Christian mate. I know that any one of them would love to walk through this with you. Pick up a gospel on your way out today. Meet Jesus for yourself. Come along to the life course that's coming up in 2 weeks' time. Ask all your big questions. Whatever it is, keep looking into Jesus. Because Jesus is risen and he changes everything. Shall we pray together? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for Jesus. And we thank you that in him we can be forgiven, loved, and restored to you now with a new and wonderful hope. Thank you that all this has been made possible through Jesus' death and resurrection. No matter where we're up to today in our walk with Jesus, please help us to more deeply grasp the difference that the resurrection makes, that it might shape every part of our life for the better, both now and into eternity. In Jesus' name, amen.